as I said before, it is a really, really big joy that we made it to this point. You guys have no idea all that God has done to make this possible, and many of the people here have helped make it possible and have done lots of hard work. I'm so grateful for all of you and all that you've done. If you will, open in your Bibles to John chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have a whole stack, and we have some lovely volunteers that would love to give you one. If you just raise your hand, we'll bring you one. And if you don't have a Bible at home, it's our gift to you. Please take it with you. But we've got plenty. So as those are passed out, we're in John chapter 10. If you got not the kids one, but the regular one, it's on page 523. I can't promise the Bible you borrowed from home what page it's on, but if you borrowed a Bible from us, it's 523. John chapter 10. The passage this morning is actually where our vision comes from for our church. And so you can guess as we read through the passage where it might be, but before it's over, I'll tell you. So we're looking in John chapter 10. Well, let us give our attention to God's perfect and wonderful word. John 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter this sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Well, thus far in God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, who is our door and is our good shepherd. Help us understand what Jesus meant by this. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, this week I had a conversation I want to tell you about. It was with Brandon, who was just up here. If you don't know him, that was Brandon Hawks. His wife, Anna Lee, did announcements. They moved here to help us start this church. If you haven't met them yet, you definitely want to meet them. They've got a really cute 2-year-old and another one on the way. But anyway, sorry. So I was talking to Brandon this week, and Brandon was telling me about a conversation he had last weekend with his uncle. His uncle was telling him his life story, and when his uncle was younger, he wasn't a Christian, and he just described what life was like. And he said it was like he was filled with darkness, and he was very lonely inside, and just how that drastically changed. I mean, he went from being so alone to not. And really what that is that then he had a shepherd. And that's what our passage talks about, didn't it? Use that analogy of Jesus is the good shepherd. But as Brandon was telling me that story, I was struck by it. And some of you can relate. Some of you became a Christian as an adult, so you can actually remember your life before Christ. And you know what it was like to have that loneliness. Of course, you look good on the outside and you smiled. And some of you maybe are still there. Maybe some of you still are empty on the inside and know what I'm talking about. And you're putting on a good face today. This sermon is definitely for you, if that's the case. But anyway, so Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. Now, I doubt, kids, that any of you are aspiring to be a shepherd when you grow up. It's not really a common occupation these days. It was in this day. In the day of Jesus, there were lots of shepherds because there were lots of sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, they're not the brightest animals in the world. They actually would die if a shepherd didn't take care of them. And so this is a common analogy in Scripture. It compares God to the shepherd, and guess who you get to be? You're the sheep. Yeah, and so am I. So we aren't the brightest, and we need a shepherd. God created us to know him, and without him, as Brandon's uncle gave testimony, life is kind of empty. Life is kind of empty. So let me explain what we got in this passage. It's broken into two halves. The first half is... maybe my connection's not very good. All right, we'll try to make a better connection. All right, we'll see if that works. Anyway, two halves. Basically, you might have heard that Jesus said some things and they didn't get it. So he said those three things again, 6 and 7. Keep your Bibles open the whole time. I'm going to just go back and forth to the passage. If you already lost it, you have a chance to open it back up. Verse 6 and 7 said, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, any of you who are teachers understand this? You say to your students, and they just stare at you blankly, and you say, let me use different words. Let's try that again. Right? And so this is what Jesus is doing. Second time, he's much more direct. Because we're going to look at those three things, we're just going to bounce back and forth from the first half to the second half. These are the three things that we're going to look at. And you can find this on page 6 in your bulletin. It's the outline of the message. So first, Jesus is the door. Door to what? To our salvation. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the good shepherd. And all others are thieves and robbers. All right, well, let's begin with the first one. Jesus is the door. So look at this first few verses. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way. Well, that guy's a thief and a robber. Clear enough, right? The guy who's climbing over the wall, probably not, as the shepherd you see is next. He who enters through the door is the shepherd. And the gatekeeper opens. All right, since you guys aren't shepherds, let me give you a little bit of historical picture here. So imagine a big field, and then they would build a big stone wall, right? So they use these big stones, stack them up, build a wall, big circle, and then they leave an opening for the door to get in. And they put a door there, and they put a gatekeeper who guards it. And so at night, shepherds go to these, bring their whole flock in for safety so they don't get eaten during the night. Okay, so you get the picture? And so Jesus is comparing and saying, hey, if a guy's climbing over the wall, he's probably not your shepherd. So pretty clear. But then we don't really catch what he's talking about. Look at verse 7, and it gets very direct. He says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. Okay, we got it. Who's the door? Jesus is. Yeah. Doors are inanimate objects. Kind of strange to say someone's the door. What's he getting at when he says that? And he says, the door. They only had one door to these things. There weren't like front doors and back doors. There's only one way in and one way out. So you look at verse 9. He keeps going. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Saved from what? If you look back to page 4 in your bulletin, what Brandon read, those verses, probably the most familiar verse in the Bible, right? John 3:16. And as I read again, answer this question. What are we being saved from? All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believes in him should not, what? Perish. There is a judgment to come. God didn't want people to perish, and so he sent Jesus to save them. But have eternal life. So perish on the one hand, eternal life. Verse 17, but God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, you're getting the pattern. Condemn, perish. But in order that he might be saved through him. You don't have this, but verse 18 says, whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So you see the picture? We need saving. There is a judgment to come. So if I say, now, if you get nothing from this morning, at least know what happened. Scripture is very clear. At the end of this life, there is a judgment. And so Jesus says, enter through me. I'm the doorway. Just like sheep during the night, they don't want to get eaten. They go in. And just like the same with Jesus, he takes us to safety. Now we're going to steal a verse from the other section. Don't tell anybody. Look at verse 11. All right, I am the good shepherd. I know we're going to look at that in a second, but the next part, the good shepherd does what? Lays down his life for the sheep. Lays down his life. Jesus laid down his life where? On the cross, right? Jesus died on the cross, but that's the death penalty. Why in the world would Jesus be dying and having a death penalty? He never did a single thing wrong. Usually people aren't executed when they do nothing wrong. And even worse, God judged him. Why is God judging Jesus? Well, it's because of my bad attitudes and the fact that I'm selfish and the fact that, I might give you a really long list, but you don't want to hear all my sins. You guys have your own, don't you? right? You know both things you've done and then things on the inside. There's a lot more on the inside we don't do that we think about. And that God calls that sin too, right? So Jesus died for all that. He laid down his life for the sheep. How does that relate to the door? That's how Jesus became the door. Because Jesus died on the cross, it made a way that we could enter in the sheepfold. We aren't trying to climb over walls. We can come right in the door. I don't know if you're familiar with the presidential pardon. Kids, you might not be familiar with this. If I have it right, the president can sign and get someone out of prison and thinks it's unjust that they were there. And so someone that's even on death row or serving a sentence, he can sign. Now the question is, what does it cost the president to do that? Nothing, right? Just signs. Pretty amazing power. Oval Office. Right? Okay. So it doesn't work that way with God. Right? God can't just say, well, Jesus, we're just going to sign these guys out and they just get to go free, right? No, that there is, someone has to pay the consequence. Someone has to pay the consequence. So Romans 6:23 says, for the wages, I know you guys get wages, but criminals get wages too. It's called going to prison, right? The negative wage of doing wrong is, so it says, the wages of sin is death. So for all of my sins have the death penalty. Romans 6:23 is very clear. Lots of other places say this, right? So you get the idea. We're all under a death penalty. God can't just sign a presidential edict that says, hey, all these guys get to go free, right? That someone has to pay. And so that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus is the door that we go through. This is a very key concept. This is why Jesus is explaining it this way. Verse 9, then it says that he will go in and out and find pasture. So not only are we saved from a future judgment, but we get to enjoy life going in and out in pasture. That's what a sheep did, right? That in the day the sheep went out, bah, 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 right? They go out and they get green grass and they get water, and at night they come in for safety. And I know some of you are young in life, others of you are advancing in age, and so one of the great things is you guys have the hope that in the end, when darkness comes, when your life ends, that Jesus is going to take you safely home to heaven. And this is the assurance. It gives such peace. You can go in and out all your life knowing that at the end of your life, you have nothing to fear in death. I mean, actually, younger people, some younger people are fearful of death. But we don't have to be if Jesus is the door. All right, so that's his first picture, the door to our salvation. Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm, right? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a parallel to this. In that it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So not only death, but also there's many trials. You guys have trials at work. You have trials in your family, in your marriage, with your kids. Kids, you have them at school, right? And that we know that Jesus is with us as the good shepherd. Well, that takes us to our second point. Jesus is the good shepherd. Look with me back at verse 2. So it says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd, right? Not the bad guys climbing over the wall. To him the gatekeeper opens. Listen to this. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Now this is amazing. The idea of God calling you by name. It's a pretty cool concept. And leads them out. And when he's brought them out, he goes before them. He's walking in front of them. I love this picture of sheep that hear and know and respond. And so this morning, if all that I'm saying so far made perfect sense to you, you get it. You understand that you're a sinner like I am. You understand that the only way to heaven is through Jesus as the door and that he paid for all your sins. The reason you understand that is because Jesus either has or is calling you by name. It's really the only way you can understand that. If this morning that makes no sense, you're like, I hear the words, but it doesn't compute. Then it might be like kids, or you had it with your roommate, right? Where you've like yelled, they're watching TV, and like how many times do you have to say their name? Or parents, how many times do you have to say your kid's name before they respond when they're watching TV? Like 3, 5, 10, right? You have to say it a lot of times, right? So some people, you've had this experience. I know some of you told me your story. When you heard the gospel the first time, did you understand it and did you respond? No. Right? It was like the 3rd, 5th, 10th time. So maybe that'll be your experience. So if what I'm saying infuriates you, is confusing to you, please come back next week and the next week. And maybe like the 5th time, it'll make perfect sense. Just like your kids watching TV. But that's what it's talking about when it says that we hear that he calls us by name. It's not like some, like, you're going to hear God calling your name. It's just, it's going to be very normal that you are understanding the gospel. And it makes sense. And you say, oh, I want that. I need that. That's God calling you by name. He's done that for me. He's done that for many of you. I pray that he'll do that for all of you. Okay, so we talked about the door. Now we're looking at the Good Shepherd. Let's look at verse 11 again. So he says, I am the Good Shepherd. Why both? What's the distinction between saying, I'm the door? Right, you guys get to be the door on this side. You guys get to be the shepherd. Right, what's the difference? Sorry, you get to be an inanimate object. Hey, but he has to deal with stinky sheep all day, so. Okay, what's the distinction between these two? Is there any difference? Why did I just use one? Would one not be sufficient? All right, let's review. All right, what did we learn about you guys? The door. The door is the means, the access into salvation. Right? That makes sense. Remember, we talk about the presidential pardon. He's setting us free, not just with his signature, but with his very own blood that he had to pay on the cross. Okay, that's you guys. How is a shepherd different? Think for a moment. Did you guys have any relationship with a sheep, my inanimate objects? Look, the inanimate objects are nodding their heads. Look at that. That's pretty impressive. Right, no, they don't have any relationship. You guys call them by name, don't you? Christianity is a relational religion. Let me say that again. Christianity is relational. God didn't just sign you into freedom. Remember the presidential pardon? Does he really have like any ongoing relationship? Not usually, right? They just go about their merry way. I'm a free man now. Not so with Jesus. See, he's not only the door that gives you access into heaven, that saves you. He's also the shepherd that like walks with you and like keeps you from like dying because you ate too much grass or you drank too much water. You fall in and you drown. Right? So, do you see the difference? See the distinction between those? All right. That's important to see. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You get the point? He's leading us. Now, many of you grew up in America, and you're more familiar with cowboys, right? Cowboys and cattle ranchers, right? So in the West, we had cattle ranchers. Now, are they like shepherds? Well, kind of. They like make sure the animals don't die. They keep them safe. But there's some differences, aren't there? Like they drive the animals. Are they like calling them by name and like leading them? No, they're on a horse. Round them up! Right? It's a little bit different, right? And so I want you to understand it's a different picture. I did that last night with my kids on the back porch, and they were like, Dad, please be quiet. The neighbors are going to hear us. It was great. We're reading this in family devotions. Anyway, this is different. Jesus is not a cattle rancher, right? He's not, yes, you know Jesus protects you, but you know he knows you. Like he knows every hair on your head or the hairs that are soon falling out of my head, right? But he knows us very intimately, and he's with us. He protects us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. That should be a comfort to you. It's an incredible comfort to me. Right? Even this week, as I've thought a lot about this, I've said, Jesus, I'm so thankful that you're my shepherd. Like, you're right with me in this and that. And he is with you. So this passage, it clearly explains how a person is saved, but it's also useful for the rest of your life to understand how Jesus is with you. All right, now my two groups, I have a question for you. Could I have one? What if I just want one of you? I don't really like all of you. Could I just have Jesus as the door and not as my shepherd? Now, like, what if I, like, walk down an aisle, right, and I pray a sinner's prayer. I say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And that gave me door access into heaven, right? This whole shepherd thing, I'm not into you guys. Right, you're going to be like telling me what you want me to do. You're going to like tell me to do some stuff, and I don't really know that I'm into you guys. I'm sorry. I'm going to stick with these guys. Can I do that? No. This is why Jesus uses both. You either have both or you have neither. That's what Scripture says. You can't just have one. You can't just have, and there are a lot of people that believe this. That's why I want to say this to you. There are people that will say, yeah, I prayed some prayer. They aren't involved in any church. They never read their Bible. How do you find out what the shepherd is saying? Dun, dun, dun. Let me introduce you. This is the Bible, right? It's his word. It's the way we hear his voice. And so as we read it, that's how the shepherd leads us. And so I want you to know that Jesus not only wants to be a door to salvation, he's also every Christian's shepherd. Every Christian's shepherd. Okay, so we've talked about the two things. There's one last group of people we haven't talked about. You know who they are? The thieves and the robbers. All right, so point three. All others are thieves and robbers. Look at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Jump down to verse 9. I, in contrast, am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We'll go in and out and find pasture. We already looked at that sum. Is Jesus really mean that he is the only way in? I want to kind of camp on that for a second. There's only one door to that sheepfold. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only way. And you might say, Nathan, how narrow-minded of you. How can you say such things? Okay, so one thing you need to know. Christians are not narrow-minded. Christians are honest. We're just honest about what the Bible says. If you flipped over a few chapters to chapter 14, 14:6 says this. If you missed it in this passage, it says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Get this last part. No one, how many people? No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty clear, wasn't it? Jesus is saying, I am the exclusive way, the only door that anyone is saved. I didn't make it up. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. And I want to be honest with you. And there's many that try to like climb in by their good works. Like, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to, you know, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works. It's a terrible idea. It's not going to work. Last Monday, Labor Day, I was walking on Cane Bay Trail. I run into a guy. We get talking. He's ordained. I'm not going to tell you what he's ordained in, but he's a minister. So we get talking. And so I say, hey, have you heard this question? If you were to die tonight and stand before God, and he says, why should I let you into heaven? He said, no. I said, all right, what would you say? He said, well, I would say, well, he knows my record. And he just stopped. I said, oh. You do things on the inside, you don't let it out on the inside. I'm like, no, he knows my record? Come on, buddy, you're ordained. That's all I said. I said, well, I would start that way, that he knows my record, but my record assures me hell. Like, I don't want him to just look at my record, right? I've sinned all kinds of ways. I've broken all kinds of commandments. The only way I'm getting into heaven is because Jesus paid for all my sins. Well, of course, at this point, his wife pulls up. Long story, he got lost. And anyway, so conversation over, his wife picks him up, and he goes home. But it's true. That's what happened. He's probably calling her. Get me out of here. An ordained guy. Some of you might believe that. I've talked to many people who say that. Like, yeah, I'm basically a good person. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. It's pretty clear. It's in Ephesians 2:8-9. If what I just said, you're in that camp, very discreetly write down this verse. Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Kids, do you pay for your Christmas gifts?
No.
No, we parents pay for them, but not you, right? A gift you just receive. And it says that salvation is a gift, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, salvation is a gift, we just receive it. Jesus did all the hard work. Your parents, they did all the hard work, bought your Christmas gifts, right? We just receive them. It's a great deal. So is salvation. You can't climb in by being a good person. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5. Let's learn some more about these. A stranger, they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Well, that's interesting. I wonder who he's talking about, these strangers. Look at verse 9. I am the door. No, that's not the right verse. Verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Who came before Jesus? Let's put on our thinking caps. All right, chapter 9. He's just gotten done with a fight with the Pharisees. If you don't know who the Pharisees are, they're the religious leaders of the day. All right, so religious leaders, Jesus heals a guy. Generally a good thing, right, to heal a guy. They aren't happy. They're jealous. So they interrogate the guy, interrogate his parents, kick him out of the temple. He got healed, come on, because they hated Jesus. They hated him so much. Right? And so then, now Jesus is still talking to them. So who might the thieves and the robbers be? All who came before me. The people standing right in front of him. Okay, that's awkward. You have to admit. That's just awkward. Right? When you're talking to a group of people and you're like, the thieves and the robbers, wink, wink, all who came before me, they aren't going to follow you. They're going to follow the shepherd. Take that. Jesus just said it how it was. He was honest. We need an honest Savior. We need someone to say, you know, we still have religious leaders who are thieves and robbers. It goes something like this. Give me all your money, and I'm going to go buy a yacht. Right? It's called prosperity gospel preachers. The storyline goes like this. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You just need to give me your money, and God's going to just give you everything. He's going to bless you tenfold of what you give to me. It's terrible, right? They're thieves. They're robbers. People believe they buy that. They actually go for that. Those churches are huge, right? People are believing, like, oh, yeah, God wants me to have all this stuff, right? There's another whole camp. Sadly, I think that guy, I'm still not going to tell you where he's from, I think he probably preaches this, right? That it's called moralism. Hey, look, guys, just be good. Jesus is the good shepherd. You just follow him, you obey his commands, and you'll go to heaven. You need to be good people, right? You will die trying. You try to be good enough to go to heaven, it's going to wear you out, right? And that's what a thief and a robber does. They steal your stuff, they kill you. It's not good. They try to destroy your life, right? And so we still have people like that. I'm not worried that you guys are going to be tricked by them, but you need to know they're out there. And there are people who are being tricked by them. In stark contrast to that, what is Jesus like? Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you know prosperity gospel preachers use this very verse? They use this very verse and say, look, God wants you to have an abundant life. Well, he does. But really, is that what it means? I mean, what do you think when you think of abundant life? Some people think that. A full life, another translation will say. But really, are rich people really the happiest? Often they're miserable. They might have lots of comforts, but they aren't very happy. So what exactly is a full and abundant life? There's a preacher that did this great illustration. I'm going to make props, guys. You have great imaginations. Imagine a 30-foot rope, all right? 30-foot rope, and the guy tied red tape to the first 3 inches of it, all right? So you got 30 feet, 3 inches. And he says, this whole rope is your life. All right, you got it? 3 inches is your life on earth. Well, that's interesting. So out of the 30 feet, 3 inches is your life on earth. So most of your life is going to be spent not on earth. Right? It's going to be spent in heaven. Right? So when God says that you're going to have a full and abundant life, I want you to think in two categories, quality and quantity. Let me explain. The quantity of life. There's a lot of rope, right? Jesus came that you would have eternal life, life that would never end. That's good. It's a lot better than going to hell. Have a lot of life and it's not going to be good. And that goes to the quality of life, right? So he gives us, what's the quality of life going to be like in heaven, right? So this is the long piece of the rope. It's going to be great. No suffering, no COVID, no night shifts, no mergers, no all the stuff, right? Of headaches of this world, right? It's going to be perfect. Does God just mean that your life after death is going to be great? He does mean that, but he also means those little 3 inches, the now, Scripture speaks to that. Romans 5 says, speaks of abundance of grace. Now, let's see, where else do we have? 2 Corinthians 8 speaks of abundance of joy, abundance of peace, Jeremiah 33. All these things now. Do you know how great it is to be peaceful? And not have anxiety about everything, about what's going to happen after I die, who's taking care of me. Remember Brandon's uncle? Right, he was empty. As a Christian, you don't have to live like that. You actually have, part of an abundant life is just knowing that God's taking care of you. You're never, never alone. Now we're talking about quality of life. The thief, we're saying, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. There's our vision. There it is. Verse 10. The vision of Hope Community Church is, you can flip to the front of your bulletin. It's hiding there. We strive to, and then there's our vision. To experience the full life that is found in Christ alone. It can be found nowhere else. Right? And so part of the reason we do the things we do, you heard about missional communities. We do those Because we've learned that as we gather together, as we know each other, as we share life together and carry each other's burdens, we actually grow as a Christian, and then our life is more full and more rich. Right? Because the burdens of this life, we share them with each other. The Good Shepherd often uses his sheep to be part of his hands and feet. And many of you that have been in churches know that. Right? Other believers carry your burdens and it lightens your burden. We do mentoring groups. Last spring we did one on anger. You don't have to raise your hand if you struggle with anger. We learned we all do. Right? We had a women's group and a men's group, and we just looked at anger and unpacked that. You talk about a thief. Anger will steal joy. It kills all kinds of things in the home, doesn't it? Both in the person who's angry and the person the people are experiencing, right? So we want to grow in that. And so we want to experience a more abundant and full life. But if our vision ended there, we'd be kind of selfish, wouldn't we? We'd say, yeah, just for us, we just want to experience a full life. But it goes on, look there on the front of your bulletin. It says to experience the full life that's found in Christ alone and to help many others experience the same. Our desire is that other people would experience in Cane Bay. Do other people in Cane Bay need hope? Absolutely. Are there people that are just holding it together and they're really empty inside? Absolutely. And so we're here for them. It says in every neighborhood of Cane Bay, there's, what, 18 plus neighborhoods? Over the next decade, our vision is to see a missional community pop up in every one of them. We've got one in Landera and the Hammocks. And a few of you are coming from other neighborhoods into those too. Right? But we want to see one in every neighborhood. Because when we call them missional communities for a reason, that they're on mission to love their neighbors and their friends who need Jesus. Right? So that's what we're doing. So in every neighborhood of Cane Bay, Charleston, we want to see other churches started and around the world. I'd love to see a missional community leader go instead of Cane Bay to Cambodia, right, or Costa Rica, and say, hey, look, I can love my neighbors just like I did in Cane Bay. I can do it elsewhere. And there's one last line of it there. It said, for the glory of God alone. We exist as a church. This is not the Nathan Francis show. Our goal is not that Hope Community Church would be some famous church. This is for God's glory alone. We're not the only church in this neighborhood. Our desire is to see all the churches growing because we want to see God glorified. God is a jealous God. He's not so much into people who are about themselves. We even prayed today, remember, in the prayer. We confess our own ambitions to self-exalt. That's a temptation for every preacher. It's a temptation for all of you, right? But that's not our desire. We want God alone to get the glory. You might be asking yourself, how in the world are you going to accomplish this? Well, I got bad news for you. I'm not going to tell you. You have to come back next week. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at, this is the vision this week. We're going to look at the mission over the next 3 weeks. It's summarized in three words. I'm not going to tell you what the words are. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at those three words and understand how in the world are we actually going to accomplish this. So we're going to go through books of the Bible normally, kind of chapter by chapter, but we decided the first month, why don't we start and explain to you our vision and our mission so that you would understand the DNA of this church. So if you stick with us for 1 month, you'll really understand us. And so I invite you to come back and we'll learn together. What's exciting is today begins that journey. To accomplish that vision, this is the starting point, and it goes forward from here. And so I just wanted to personally invite all of you, every last one of you, to join us. We'd love for you to be a part of this. Many of the families who have got us to this point, we've become really good friends and shared life together, and we'd love for you to be a part of that family. So please consider. As we close this morning, my heart's desire, above all else, is that you would know Jesus as the door of your salvation. My heart's desire is that you would know Jesus as your good shepherd, who walks with you through all the ups and downs of life. And as you know Jesus as the door of your salvation, as you know Jesus as your shepherd, that you would experience a full and abundant life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much that I didn't make up any of this. This is just your word, Lord. You're the one who had the idea to send Jesus as a door to give us access to you. And not only do you give us access to you, but you are relational. You sent Jesus to be our shepherd. Lord, thank you that you are my shepherd and carrying me through when I am too weak to walk, that you carry me. Lord, I pray that everyone here would know you to carry them, and they would lean on you. Father, I pray that you would build Hope Community Church, not for our sake, but for your sake. Lord, you obviously want a church here, and so you brought all of us here. So, Lord, I pray now that you would build this church for your glory alone. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.